Okay, let's picture this. You've had a business partnership running smoothly for years, shared vision, lots of hard work put in. And then one day, a partner decides it's time to move on, or maybe something more sudden happens, like tragically they pass away. For the business, that moment, it's huge emotionally, obviously, but it also flips a switch, turning everything into this really complex financial and accounting puzzle.
That's exactly right. And, you know, for anyone running a business, figuring out that puzzle isn't just about the numbers. It's fundamentally about fairness, making sure everything's legally sound, and, crucially, keeping the business running smoothly afterwards. The sources we're looking at for this deep dive really give us a detailed roadmap for handling these big moments of partner retiring or, yes, sadly, passing away.
Right. So our mission today is really to give you the insights needed to understand these kinds of financial shifts. We're going to unpack everything from, say, adjusting profit shares to tackling those tricky intangible assets like goodwill. We want to show you the critical steps, maybe some surprising details that make sure the business can move forward properly. And just to clarify, when we talk about retirement here, we generally mean a planned withdrawal. Maybe it's old age, lack of interest, or it was just part of the agreement. But the key thing is that retiring partner, they're entitled to everything owed to them right up to that retirement date. And they're still on the hook for their share, any losses up till then, too.
Okay, so let's unpack that a bit more. When a partner leaves, it's definitely not just a handshake and they're gone. It sounds like it triggers this whole cascade of financial adjustments, a real chain reaction in the books.
Precisely. And what's interesting, I think, is that while it feels disruptive, the actual accounting process is very structured. Our sources lay out several critical accounting aspects that need to be addressed. It's quite methodical, really. There's a checklist, effectively. Mm-hmm. Things like changes in profit sharing, goodwill adjustments, revaluing assets, figuring out profits up to the exit date, all the way to settling the final amount and even adjusting the remaining partner's capital.
Well, okay. That is a lot to keep track of. Let's maybe zoom in on a few of the big ones. How about we start with the basics, how those fundamental slices of the profit pie get redistributed.
Sure. So when a partner retires, the profit sharing ratio, the PSR, among the ones who stay, well, it almost always changes. Often what happens is the outgoing partner share just gets absorbed by the continuing partners. And usually they absorb it in line with their original profit sharing ratio. So the relative proportions between the remaining partners might actually stay the same, even though their actual percentage of the total profit goes up. For instance, say you had A, B, and C sharing profits 3.2.1. If B retires, B's 2 share gets split. A and C might naturally just take it in their existing 3.1 ratio, so the new ratio becomes 3.1. But, and this is important, they could agree differently. They might say, hey, let's just be equal partners now. Then the new ratio would be 1.1. So there's flexibility there based on agreement.
Okay, that makes sense. And that leads directly to this idea of the gaining ratio, right?
Right.
What exactly is that measuring?
Right. The gaining ratio pins down the specific proportion in which each continuing partner acquires the share of the outgoing partner. The formula is pretty simple. It's just their NEW profit share minus their OLD profit share. That difference is their gain. And understanding this ratio, it's not just math. It tells you how influence and future earnings might be shifting within the firm post-departure. It's a snapshot of the new dynamic.
Okay, now for something that always seems a bit mysterious, goodwill. It's invisible on a day-to-day basis, but sounds like it has a massive financial weight when a partner leaves.
It absolutely does, and it should, right, because the retiring partner is entitled to their share of that goodwill. It represents the firm's reputation, its customer base, its brand value things built up by everyone's effort over time. Now, how you account for it, that gets interesting. It really depends on whether goodwill is already sitting there on the balance sheet or not.
All right, let's take the first case. Goodwill isn't currently listed in the company's books. How do firms handle valuing and distributing something that's not officially recorded?
Okay, so if it's not in the books, our sources outline a few ways this can be handled. One main way is you can decide to raise the goodwill. This means you calculate its full current value, create a goodwill asset account on the balance sheet, and credit all the partners' capital accounts, including the retiring one, in their old profit sharing ratio. So everyone gets their share of this newly recognized value reflected in their capital. Then sometimes firms raise it like that, but then immediately write it off. They basically remove the goodwill asset account right away by debiting the continuing partner's capital accounts in their new ratio. The net effect is the retiring partner gets their share credited, and the continuing partners effectively buy that share from them through their capital accounts without leaving the goodwill asset on the books long term.
Okay, so raise it and keep it, or raise it and write it off. Are there other options?
Yes, there's another variation where you only raise goodwill to the extent of the retiring partner's share. So you debit goodwill just for, say, B's share, if B is retiring, and credit B's capital. Then you immediately write off that specific amount by debiting the continuing partners, A and C, in their gaining ratio. And probably the most common and direct method, especially preferred under certain accounting standards, is to not raise a goodwill account at all. Instead, you make a direct adjustment between the partners' capital accounts. The continuing partners' capital accounts are debited in their gaining ratio for the retiring partner's share of goodwill, and the retiring partner's capital account is credited directly for that same amount. It's like the continuing partners are directly compensating the retiree for their share of the firm's reputation without muddying the balance sheet with a goodwill asset. For example, if B retires, the goodwill share is calculated at, say, R is 20,000, and A and C's gaining ratio is 3.1. You'd see A's capital debited R's, 15,000, C's capital debited R's, 5,000, and B's capital credited R's, 20,000. Simple direct compensation.
That direct adjustment seems cleaner somehow. Right. Less complicated on the balance sheet later.
It often is, yeah. It avoids inflating the balance sheet with an intangible asset. Although sometimes there's a special case where maybe a continuing partner actually sacrifices some share in the reshuffle. Maybe their new ratio is less than their old one relative to others. In that rare case, their capital account might actually get credited to during the goodwill adjustment.
Okay, that covers goodwill when it starts off invisible.
No.
What if it is already sitting there in the books?
Right, good question. If goodwill is already on the balance sheet, you've got three main scenarios. One, the book value happens to be exactly what you currently estimate it to be worth. Perfect. No adjustment needed for the value itself. Two, the book value is lower than the current value. Let's say it's in the books at RS 20,000, but you reassess and find it's really worth RS 24,000 now. In that case, you need to increase it. You debit the goodwill account for the difference, R's 4,000 in this example, and you credit all partners' capital accounts, retiring one included, for that difference, based on their old profit-sharing ratio. You're bringing the recorded value up to date for everyone.
And the third scenario would be the opposite, I guess. Book value is too high.
Exactly. If the book value is higher than the current value, say, it's on the books at RS 24,000, but you reckon it's only worth RS 20,000 now, then you have to write it down. You credit the goodwill account for the difference, R's 4,000, and you debit all partners' capital accounts in their old ratio to reflect that loss in value.
This brings up something you mentioned, hidden goodwill. What if a firm just decides to pay the retiring partner a lump sum that's clearly more than their calculated capital, profit share, goodwill share, everything added up?
Ah, yes. Hidden goodwill. That's precisely what that implies. If the firm pays out an amount, say a round figure, that exceeds the partner's meticulously calculated final balance, that excess amount paid is treated as their share of this unrecorded or hidden goodwill. It's basically the firm acknowledging, through the payment amount, that there's some extra value there, maybe future potential, that they're compensating the departing partner for, even if it wasn't formally calculated beforehand.
Interesting. So we've tackled profit shares, we've wrestled with goodwill.
Yeah.
What else is involved in this sweeping the books clean process before a partner exits?
Well, another really crucial step is the revaluation of assets and liabilities. Just like when a new partner comes in, you need to make sure the firm's assets and debts are valued correctly at the time the partner leaves. This ensures the retiring partner's final payout reflects the true value of their stake in the business at that moment. You use a temporary account, often called a revaluation account or profit and loss adjustment account, to track the increases or decreases in value. Any net profit or loss from this revaluation, it gets transferred to all the partners' capital accounts again in their old profit-sharing ratio. It's about fairness right up to the exit point.
And what about things like accumulated profits, reserves that have been built up over the years?
Good point. Yes, any accumulated profits, like a balance in the general reserve, or undistributed profits sitting in the profit and loss account, or even leftover bits of specific reserves, like a workman's compensation fund. All of that needs to be distributed too. It belongs to the partners who were there when it was earned. So it gets transferred to all partners' capital accounts, again, based on the old ratio. Generally, the idea is these balances shouldn't appear on the balance sheet right after the retirement. You clear them out. Although sometimes firms might agree to only pay out the retiring partner share and leave the rest for the continuing partners. That's another possibility.
Now, here's a really practical headache, I imagine. What if a partner retires, say, halfway through the financial year? How on earth do you figure out their share of profits for just those few months when the year isn't even finished?
Yeah, that's a common challenge. And it's critical because they are entitled to their share of profit or liable for their share of loss right up to their last day. Our sources show two main ways to handle this. Method one is based on time or turnover, often using past profits as a guide. You might calculate the average profit from recent years, figure out a pro rata amount for the part of the year the partner was present, and then give them their share of that estimate. Method two is more accurate, but more work. You actually prepare interim accounts. You basically do a mini closing of the books up to the date of retirement to find the actual profit or loss for that specific period.
And how is that interim profit or loss recorded temporarily?
Usually it's done using a temporary holding account called the Profit and Loss Suspense Account. You debit or credit this account and make the corresponding entry to the retiring partner's capital account. This suspense account then sits on the balance sheet, usually as an asset, if it's a debit balance representing profit paid out in advance until the end of the year when the final accounts are drawn up and it gets closed off against the actual full year profit or loss.
Okay, so after all these adjustments, revaluation, goodwill, accumulated profits, interim profits, you finally arrive at one number. The total amount due to the retiring partner. Now, the big question, how does the firm actually pay them out?
Right, the settlement phase. There are basically three main routes here. The simplest is a lump sum payment. If the firm has the cash, they just pay the entire amount due straight away, clean and done. But often, especially for large amounts, that's not feasible. So option two is payment in installments. The total amount due gets transferred from their capital account to a new account, usually called the retiring partner's loan account. This account then represents a loan from the retiring partner to the firm. The firm pays it back over time in agreed installments and, crucially, usually with interest on the outstanding balance.
Is there a standard interest rate or anything the retiring partner should know about that?
Well, the rate is usually agreed upon.
Yeah.
But if not, partnership law often provides a fallback. For example, Section 37 of the Indian Partnership Act gives the outgoing partner a choice, which is quite interesting. They can choose to receive either interest, often stipulated at around 6% per annum, or they can claim a share of the profits that the firm earned using their unpaid amount. They can pick whichever is more beneficial to them, which is a significant protection. And remember, each installment payment typically includes a portion of the principal loan amount plus the interest calculated on the remaining unpaid balance.
Okay, lump sum or installments. What's the third way?
The third way is just a hybrid, really. Part payment in cash immediately, and the remaining balance transferred to that loan account to be paid off in installments. This is very common. It gives the retiring partner some immediate funds while easing the cash flow burden on the firm.
Right. That makes practical sense. So the departing partner is settled, but what about the partners who are staying? Do they sometimes need to sort of rebalance their own finances within the firm?
Yes, absolutely. Often, the continuing partners will decide to adjust their own capital accounts so that their balances are in proportion to their new profit-sharing ratio. Makes sense, right? Their responsibilities and profit shares have changed, so aligning their capital investment reflects that new reality. The process involves figuring out the total capital the new firm needs. Maybe it's a fixed target, or maybe it's just the sum of their existing adjusted capitals. Then they calculate what each partner's share should be based on the new PSR. If someone has more capital than required by the new ratio, an excess, they might withdraw the cash, or maybe it's just shifted to their current account. If someone has less than required, a deficiency, they'll usually need to bring in more cash. Or again, it might be adjusted through their current account if they have a positive balance there. It's about reestablishing equilibrium.
We've focused heavily on retirement, which often involves some planning. But yeah. You mentioned the parallel situation, the death of a partner. You said the accounting is similar, but with key differences.
That's right. In terms of the actual calculations, adjusting the profit sharing ratio for the survivors, calculating goodwill share, revaluing assets, distributing accumulated profits, figuring out profit up to the date of death, the mechanics are largely the same as for retirement. The final amount due is calculated in a very similar way.
But there are critical distinctions, you said.
Yes, indeed. And our sources highlight three that really matter. First, timing. Retirement is often planned, maybe for the end of an accounting year. Death can happen literally any day, any time. This makes those mid-period calculations we talked about, like profit up to the date of death, suddenly very urgent and often more complex to do accurately on short notice. Second, the nature of it. Retirement is voluntary, the partner chooses to leave. Death is an automatic, involuntary termination of the partnership from their side. Legally, this can dissolve the partnership, although agreements often allow the firm to continue. And third, and this is a big practical and legal difference, who gets the money.
Right. You mentioned this earlier. For retirement, it goes to the partner's loan account if paid in installments. What happens with death?
For a deceased partner, the amount calculated as due doesn't go to their personal loan account. It's transferred to their executor's account. The executor is the person legally responsible for managing the deceased person's estate. If the payment is made in installments, it might be called the executor's loan account. But the key is the payment goes to the legal representative of the estate, not the partner themselves, obviously. It's a critical legal and procedural distinction.
So we've really journeyed through quite a complex accounting landscape today, haven't we? From reshaping profit shares, getting a handle on goodwill, cleaning up the books with revaluations and accumulated profits, calculating interim earnings, and finally, managing the payouts. It's really clear that a partner leaving, whether through retirement or death, isn't just a simple farewell. It's a meticulous financial operation.
Absolutely. It's designed to ensure fairness, above all fairness to the departing partner or their estate, and fairness, along with stability and continuity, for the remaining partners and the firm itself. It requires precision.
Which leads to a final thought, perhaps. Knowing just how deliberate and, frankly, intricate these financial unwinding processes are, what does that really tell you and tell us listening about the kind of trust, the foresight, and the detailed long-term planning that must underpin any truly successful business partnership right from the very beginning? It seems it's not just about the good times. It's about having a solid, fair plan for the inevitable changes.